If you're thinking about it, she's talking about it. Join the conversation at 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. 203-333-9422 is our number. Joining us now is Wayne Winston, who has held various offices of leadership of the NAACP and many different organizations that represent black community interests. He's born and raised in Bridgeport, now lives in Trumbull, a listener and a contributor to the WICC show. Today, we inaugurate a weekly segment. I think we're going to end up doing this on Tuesdays or Wednesdays midweek, but today is a Friday and we begin. And I invite you to be part of this general, regular conversation that we have on the show, both when Wayne is on and when Wayne is off. But when he is on, I'm going to hear from Wayne Winston weekly about his view about what's going on as a black man in our community vis-a-vis all of the upheaval and change and progress in race relations in our community. Welcome, Wayne Winston, back to the show. Hi.
Lisa Wexler, boy, I tell you, I should have to send you a check for that whole thing right there. That's a lot, man.
No, it's so nice to have you. Are you kidding? Wayne, I got to ask you this because you're an insider. And I just saw News 12 this morning that even they didn't know. Is Al Sharpton coming to Bridgeport over the weekend?
Well, you know, I personally have some information. And what it becomes is sometimes people try to do the right thing, and then the wheels kind of fall off. There's people that feel very strongly about Al Sharpton. Other people are excited to see him. So when someone like Al is invited, it can become a lightning rod. So the people who planned it, you know, were doing so because they wanted to bring someone from national attention to Bridgeport. Because, you know, Al has been at the arguably the most important things in our black history concerning this racism, whether it's Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, you know, obviously recently with Floyd presiding over there. He coined the phrase, you know, knee on the neck. You know, so someone like him coming to Bridgeport is outstanding. He can share some of those stories that we just won't have locally. And they were supposed to be an inspiration, you know, to the young people who are out here marching, not taking anything from them, but doing it so that they can go hand in hand, because there's legislation that has to come out of these marches. You know, there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of people saying, I want change. I want change. I want change. But in the end, it's going to get down to changing local police departments and municipalities and even the education systems that don't talk about race in the right way, which caused a lot of these issues that we're trying to correct now at this time, and what people are feeling and why they're marching, black, white, and so on, because they get maybe they're relied to.
So Wayne, who was going to be bringing Al in? Was it Black Lives Matter as an organization? Who was going to be bringing Al Sharpton to Bridgeport over the weekend?
No, there are two independent groups. You have a Reverend Mary Lee, who is a member of the IMA. She has her own church. That's the Interdenomination Ministers Alliance. And we have also Haran Gaston. He happens to work for the mayor. And he had his own personal connections. And he reached out to a couple people to bring Al here under that auspices. And okay. Sometimes things get distorted based upon what they believe that's going to bring to the table. So if you may not be happy with Al, you may not be happy that he's coming. So things like that start to get spread, and for all the wrong reasons, and they're going to pay for him. The youth NAACP is involved, and they will be there that day.
When you say pay for him, he doesn't come volunteer. He doesn't just come. He has to get paid.
Well, he is a national figure, and I had this discussion a couple times, and we have a tendency to kind of look at people who have paid the price to earn something to be here. He's a national figure. He's a CNN contributor. You know, there's any number of people that we pay. Michael Eric Dyson, you know, you can go down the list of people who are paid speakers. If they're celebrities or entertainers, we don't have a problem saying, ooh, let me pay for X person to come.
Well, wait a minute. But, you know, okay. But, you know, Wayne, I have. Okay. But, you know, this is an interesting conversation because
yes.
When you're fundraising for the NAACP and you hire Al Sharpton as your keynote speaker, you pay him. And that's what he gets paid for. He's entitled. He gets paid. If he's showing up on the streets of Bridgeport to lend his reputation to try and advocate for change in a local police department, I'm sorry. I don't agree. I don't think he should get paid. I don't agree, or necessarily get paid. I don't see it the same way because his advocacy and everything else that he's built his name and reputation on, to me, there's a difference between the work of doing the advocacy and then there's the keynote speech where you're helping someone fundraise and then you get paid. Do you see what I'm saying? I see a difference.
You know, as an activist and advocate, I get both sides. Meaning, everything that he does, if it has to do with activism, doesn't mean he should not get paid. You know, he can march anywhere in America, and there's places that he does for free. If you invite someone, there's transportation costs for him to come. I mean, he was invited here.
Okay, I get that. That happened here. Sure, don't make him go out of pocket. But I know we weren't talking about his out-of-pocket expenses, Wayne. We were talking about his fee. It's different. Different.
Agreed. And I think that's the place where, you know, whether you're Cornell West or anything, if you're invited to a place to do a job, to raise people's spirits. And again, we pay for authors, all of those things all the time. And it's not just limited to him. You know, Reverend Jackson, I do work with him as well. You know, these guys are paid. Now, if they're from the state or from the area, you can often get them to do something for free. And at times he has. You know, if you have that kind of relationship with whoever that individual is, especially from a national identity, then you can often get it discounted no matter who it is. Because, once again, if he goes to Oklahoma, you know, I want to go down there and change things and help them. He can do that. But there's places that want him across this country. So there's this. And in fact, the fee was extremely marginal based upon what it was that they wanted him to do. But they were willing. They knew before he came. They had that all sorted out. And it could have been any person that could have came here.
So do you think he's coming? Yes or no? If you had to bet, is he coming?
You know, I say based upon the threats that he received. And I mean, literally, when you get people
threats?
Saying, yes, there were threats, you know, that he would be attacked, that they throw rocks at him. I mean, it was just, he'd be booed. I mean, and so when you start weighing that, it's like, you know what? Maybe this isn't the place for
me. So is he going to be booed by people from within the black community, or are we talking about booing him from the white community? Who's booing him?
Well, these are people, and I don't want to get all, and I won't get into names and such, but
no,
it was clear. It was clear that the people that didn't want him to come were making sure that he knew he was unwelcome. And when it was from the black community. It was
from the black community. Interesting. All right, yeah. Let me go. We've got a caller, Jay from Fairfield. Jay, you're talking with Wayne Winston, and I'm Lisa Wexler. Welcome to our show today. What's on your mind?
Hi. I think there's a lot of things I could say about Al Sharpton, and they wouldn't be so positive, but I do want to point out, and I do not watch CNN, but I happen to catch Chris Cuomo, of all people, talk about how Al Sharpton was paid $100,000 to officiate at George Floyd's funeral. Okay? He does get paid for where he goes. He does get paid. He doesn't do anything for free. He just doesn't. Wonderful, beautiful people like Martin Luther King, I don't believe got paid. I've looked for that. He did everything, and he did everything for the right reasons. I don't think Al Sharpton does everything for the right reasons. Not to say he does it for money, but what's the word I can use? Al Sharpton wants to get people fired up, perhaps in the wrong way, and get them angry and fired up. And there's a couple of other politicians out there on the Democratic side, they'll do the same thing, too. It's not so healthy. It makes people crazy. And, and to let alone that he owes the IRS about $6 million. You know, that's all I want to say. Look, he's a part of this. He's not going to go away. But I just feel that if he were to come, and he was threatened. Of course, I don't think I would come, even for money or no money. But he should try to see things from different angles, except from just one angle, and try to make everybody a victim and get everybody fired up. And that's all I really want to say about it.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. So, Wayne, what do you think about what Jay's just said? Thank you, Jay, for the call. What do you think, Wayne, about what Jay's just saying?
Well, two things. I mean, he brought it to the political side about, you know, the Democrats versus the Republicans, you know, and, you know, the Republicans don't have a whole lot of credibility in the black community to begin with, largely because of policy, nothing else. If you're going to say, you know, why you vote for the same people and you're not voting for us, what do you have to lose? You at least have to show there's something on the table for that person that's still voting for the other party. You know, if you have a pie and you can get 20% of that pie and the other person is showing you 1%, if anything, guess where you're going to go, regardless that it's not as much as it could be. So that's basically the Democratic dynamic. And when it comes to Al, I mean, we've had this discussion for years throughout the community. Should activists get paid? Forget that it's Al Sharpton right now.
Okay.
Dr. King was in a time of extreme segregation. You know, I'm sure he got paid somewhere. I'm sure he got paid beyond just his traveling expenses, because it would be disingenuous to think that he shouldn't earn something for going there. And we typically do tithes even for pastors and people in our churches. So someone like Dr. King, you would expect to earn X amount of dollars, even though it may not be, or maybe in some place it was. I think those churches that could pay more did, and ones that couldn't didn't, because he has such a relevance now that Dr. King was a fighter. And when he talks about, you know, Al Sharpton gets riled up, the people are already riled up when he gets there. That's the reason that activists go. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a situation that happened, like the Trayvon Martin thing, you know, and they're speaking to, and it's upsetting. But people are already upset with what we're seeing in this country. The marches have happened because people are already upset. When Al goes to something, or Reverend Jackson, or who these next leaders will be, the people are already riled up. The purpose of the activists is to try to channel that into a way that you could turn it into positive energy and not destroy things. And you've never heard Al say destroys things or any other that I've ever seen at this level. They try to channel it into something positive and say, let's make this about legislation. It's about voting. It's about changing that very entity that created the problem, which is usually directly connected to the police, which is why most of these things happen to do this. With George Floyd dying, we saw how cold-hearted that could be through Chauvin, just on his knee, no matter how many times people were pleading for his life. So when he went there, maybe he did make 100. I have no reason to believe that Chris Cuomo is lying. If he made $100,000 to officiate, I can't be mad at him, because the things he's gone throughout his life, you know, to get there to be an activist as a person who doesn't get paid, and I've got people's kids returned to them, spent hours and hours and hours of doing stuff. You know, when you reach a certain level, I think that it's appropriate, no matter who you are, whether you're black, whether you're white.
Okay,
that, you know,
I get it.
You're going to earn a living.
Well, that's a point of view. I think there's another point of view, too, which you could look at the bigger context, which is, you know, if the fee is payable, it's probably paid to his National Action Network, which people would then be able to justify supporting the movement that enables him to do his work, so to speak. But he is loaded with some baggage, and I'm interested. I don't want to belabor it too much, but it's interesting to me that within the black community in Bridgeport, there were people that were threatening to throw rocks from the black community, because that's how much antipathy they have towards him. And I'd like to know from you, Wayne Winston, I heard now in defense of him, but now I would like to hear from the other side, the people that have antipathy toward him. Does that come from his lack of integrity with the Tawana Brawley case from years ago? Does it come from the fact that he is a lightning rod and they don't think a lightning rod is helpful or useful right now? Where is that antipathy coming from?
Oh, boy, that was kind of a loaded question. Okay.
Yeah, I would just like to know.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Okay. Within our community, you just have people that have issues with somebody, and it can carry on for the rest of their life, no matter what they do. In his case, we don't reflect so much upon Tawana Brawley because, you know, everyone can make a mistake within their history, and he was misled to a degree as much as the rest of the country was. So that turned out not to be true, but the other 90% is correct, so that we can't rest our hats on what happened with Tawana.
Okay.
You know, as far as here, people actually did twist things. They named it that young people were going to attack him, which would be kind of absurd. You know, there was nothing to that because, remember, when people want something not to happen, they can go through whatever lengths to make it look
No, but Wayne, what I'm asking you is where is the antipathy coming from? Why isn't he universally, you know, respected and admired and welcomed within Bridgeport? Is it a personal thing from a history from way back that isn't relevant to policy? I'm just curious to know.
Well, individuals can have a problem with him for just what you said. I think that he should do these things for free, and they have a problem with that.
Okay.
I would say the majority of black people that I know would not, that would not be the reason they would not go see him. That's why it had to be a spectacular effort to make it as such for him not to come, because there was a lot of other things that I'm not going to discuss that led to that, which were just absurd because you have people saying that it's not done for the right reason, that the whole march itself was for some political thing and so on and so forth. And when you get all those different factions in there and people from different areas turning it into something from what it originally was, which is a way to hear those experiences of George Floyd, that those things, he brings a wealth of knowledge being involved in those cases and so on and so on. That's what we are looking to hear from, you know, in those stories from the families of Eric Garner and so on, and inspiration in that way.
So you want him to come. So what I'm hearing is you would really like him to come this weekend, but you don't know if he's going to come because of the threats and the backlash within the community. He may not come. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do this. Let's go to a commercial. We'll be right back with Wayne Winston. I have a couple more things I want to discuss with you. Wayne Winston on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.
You've read and heard from all the others. Now the real story on today's biggest topics. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. We're continuing our conversation with Wayne Winston. Robert Johnson has frequently been described as America's first black billionaire. I don't know. I haven't been there to count his money. But he's an American entrepreneur, a media magnate. He founded BET Entertainment, which sold to Viacom in 2001. He's a graduate of Princeton University. And he's an opinionated, successful American. He was on Fox News last night. And he was talking a little bit about the relationship between the black people and the Democratic Party. So, Wayne, I want you to hear a little bit of this clip because I'm very interested in your insight, whether you agree or disagree, what you have to say about this. This is Robert Johnson last night.
Look, the people who are basically tearing down statues, trying to make a statement, are basically borderline anarchists, the way I look at it. They really have no agenda other than the idea we're going to topple a statue because what? It's not going to close the wealth gap. It's not going to give a kid whose parents can't afford a college money to go to college. It's not going to close the labor gap between what white workers are paid and what black workers are paid. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to take people off welfare or food stamps. You know, it's, you know, people having fun that they can go out and pull down a statue and have the mistaken assumption that black people are sitting around cheering for them, say, oh my God, look at these white people. They're doing something so important to us. They're taking down a statue of a Civil War general who fought for the South. You know, black people, in my opinion, black people laugh at white people who do this. The same way we laugh at white people who say we got to take off the TV shows. We got to, you know, the Dukes of Hazzard. I'll bet you if you go back and look at the Nielsen ratings when the Dukes of Hazzard were on television, I'll bet you it had a huge black viewing population. You know, that's the one thing you do, research it. Find out, because blacks watch more television than whites did. Always been historically. So if a show has enough ratings to stay on television, as long as the Dukes of Hazzard did, I guarantee you it had more black people watching as a percentage. Beverly Hillbillies. Black people watched the Beverly Hillbillies. My folks grew up, everybody, 8 o'clock, whenever it came on, black folks were tuning into the Beverly Hillbillies. So white Americans seem to think that if they just do sort of emotionally or drastic things, that black people are going to say, oh my God, white people love us because they took down a statue of Stonewall Jackson. Frankly, black people don't give a damn.
And so, that's a little bit of Robert Johnson last night on Fox. So what do you think about that, Wayne Winston? Do you agree with him? Do you see it his way? What do you think?
Well, he covered a lot of ground in a lot of different directions. And, black people are not monolithic. There's no magic thing that we are all involved in that we really all agree 100%, just like white Americans. That's why there's a lot of different factions of white Americans. So we got progressive, we got conservative, and so on. And then there's a mixture of the views. So there's things that I agree with and disagree. When he talks about the TV shows and so on, let's face it, there wasn't any black programming back then.
He invented it.
Entertainment.
And that's how he made his money. BET is Black Entertainment Television. That's how he became a billionaire.
Absolutely. And that came much later. So at the time he's talking about, there wasn't any. So it took X amount of time for him to create that venue because all of these things happened. And then on BET, it was he had TV shows and stuff, but then it turned into music television. And he sold it to Viacom, some years after. And the news
made
was taking
a fortune.
Out. Guys like Ed Gordon were amazing, did amazing news on there. And it just turned into like a music channel, which then just made it like a black MTV.
But what do you think about the statues? Do you agree with him about the statues and the fact that black people are laughing at the white people taking down the statues? You don't agree?
Not at all. Not at all. I think that he's kind of missing the mark there. These things are important because of the symbols that they represent. History that most Americans didn't know. The reason that there are people upset with Columbus now, and even a lot of Italian Americans, they didn't really see it or know the horrible things that Columbus did, that is causing this backlash. So white Americans get it as much as black Americans. So that's why there is much a part of we can't have this stuff as hero worship when that person did these things because I've changed my perspective of it, not just black people. And we clearly aren't laughing. I mean, we're happy that the Confederate flag went down at NASCAR. We're happy that even though the news thing turned out to be a coincidence with Bubba, the people's just stepping up, marching with him.
Okay.
We got a phone call.
Wayne, I'm going to take one more phone call. We're going to have to make it real quick. Maureen, you're calling from where?
Hi, Norwalk.
Hi, Maureen from Norwalk.
Hey, someone asked me a while ago, so what is his, what is Reverend Sharpton's, where does he get his reverendship from? He's not exactly involved in any church. But the main thing is, I find it a little bit suspicious that AT&T, who owns CNN, would have Sharpton on their payroll, which means that you only want to have an agitator who's going to give you, quote, good news and or a news bite. The other thing is that our paradigm can't shift unless you destroy the culture. They did that over in the Middle East, where they went in and they tore down statues and they tore down everything. It leaves the people rather breathless as to being able to come in and change the paradigm with this new world order thing that's coming in. And World Economic Forum. If people go on the website of World Economic Forum, they'll find
thank
out.
Thank you,
what,
Maureen. Okay, thank you,
this.
Maureen. We're running out of time today. Thank you for the call. So Wayne Winston. If there's anything you want to address to Maureen's comment, I'm happy to have you do so. But we only have about a minute to close before today. So I just want to give you the last word. Is there anything else you want to sum up? Is there anything you want to call people to action to over the weekend? It's a Friday. You got about 30 seconds, Wayne Winston.
Yes. please go to the march tomorrow. I mean, you know, there's young people, there's a lot of planning beyond Al. Someone from Action Network is supposed to come for sure, if not Al. But this is about what we've been doing already for George Floyd, to bringing people together. That's what it's about, not separate.
What time is it, Wayne? What time is it?
11 a.m., and it's going to be at Baker Funeral Home. There's going to be a walk from there down to 909 Broad Street, and then there'll be some speeches
there
with young people.
Thank you. 11 a.m., Baker Funeral Home tomorrow, and wear your mask. Wayne Winston, thanks for being on the show. We'll be right back.